special guests this afternoon are both veterans of the Texas music scene who are collaborating on a new project for Idol Records. It's the first time these two have worked together in several years, as I understand it, and their new outfit highlights the multi-instrument talent of John Dufalo of bands like the Death Ray Davies and the Apples in Stereo. And it features the vocal talents of the singer for the Earlys, Brandon Carr. It is my pleasure to welcome John and Brandon from Corner Sons into the KETR studios. Guys, thank you so much for coming all the way out here to Commerce.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Hey, thanks.
So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the new Corner Sons release. Listeners have been catching selections from that album in recent weeks here on Notably Texan, but I wanted to get a little bit of information about you both. Are you both residing in Dallas currently?
I'm in Dallas.
Brandon, I'm living in Abilene, Texas.
Okay, gotcha. Now, I knew that you were in Abilene, but I wasn't sure how this was working out. I didn't know if you had to make the trek all the way from Abilene today or not. But
no, I came in last night.
Okay, gotcha. Well, we appreciate you making that extra long trek. John, you've been in Dallas for your life. Is that true?
I grew up in San Antonio. I moved to Dallas the very end of 97, so
right.
Almost 20 years, yeah.
It's virtually a lifetime then in Dallas.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely feel like it's my home.
Brandon, what about your roots? Where have you lived around the state outside of Abilene?
I grew up in Dallas.
Oh, okay. Well, that's ironic then.
Yeah. So, basically in kind of the Garland, Rockwall area.
So, oh, very cool. Yeah. So, yeah, we went right through Rockwall on your way out here.
Yeah, went through my old stomping grounds.
I always like to know a little bit more about where these guys and gals come from that we're talking to. And I mentioned before that you're both involved with other bands in addition to the new Corner Sons collaboration. So, John, was the Death Ray Davies kind of your first, I'm going to use air quotes here, real band? I'm sure were involved in others before that.
But I had a few others before that. Actually, more than a few. Yeah, I've always had I've since about 18 years old in San Antonio. I started playing drums for bands around then.
Okay.
And I've been in and out of them a lot. But I would say it was my second band for writing songs and singing.
Okay, I understand.
So in that way, yeah.
Right. I mean, in no way am I belittling anything you did in the other bands.
barely worth mentioning. I feel like the Death Ray Davies was kind of my sort of start into kind of feeling like I knew half what I was doing.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Of all the many ways a man will lose his home, Wolverine, no better than the girl who's moving on. Valentine, the destroyer, Valentine, you belong in the stars when you are always young.
The Death Ray Davies are very much still active, right? I know that you just included an old 97s cover on that Desperate Times record.
We did, and we played a show over in Fort Worth. I guess it was 3 months ago, something like that. We don't play very often, but we're still playing and refusing to break up. So
that's good, because it's what happens to so many of these bands that are together over multiple years, is that everybody, I've at least on the outside looking in, it feels like everybody starts to hate each other. Everybody gets at each other's throats, and eventually the bands break up. So I'm glad that you found a way to keep it going.
Yeah. Luckily, we still all like each other quite a bit. There's been lineup changes over the years, but the people that we're playing with now, I mean, it's been a long time under this setup. So
for anybody that hasn't heard anything from this new Corner Sons release, I wanted to spin a cut from the new album, but first I wanted to ask you to, and either one of you can take this, how do you describe the band's sound to somebody, if you're doing your elevator pitch, as they call it? You're hey, I got this new thing. It's impossible to like pigeonhole music these days, and I believe in eclectic music, which is kind of the example of what you got going on here. But if you have to pigeonhole it into a few words, how do you describe Corner Sons?
That's a good one. I mean, I guess I would just say the music is an incredible vocal delivery system. poppy, catchy. I could just think of different influences. It's definitely got some, Kinks going on in there, California 60s. Psychedelia type stuff, maybe some of that in there.
I would say, we mixed that with, at the time when I was writing the songs for this record, I was listening to a lot of a guy from Amsterdam named Jaco Gardner and Broadcast, if you've heard of them. I'm a huge fan of theirs, sort of modern modern psychedelic music.
That's cool.
But I've always been a pop guy for sure. So I'd say, yeah, mixed with what the Kinks and things
right.
I know. Right.
No, that's a pretty wildly diverse list of influences that go into this. You know what I mean? And I'm all about that. That does not scare me away at all. We love playing stuff that doesn't just fit into a certain, you know, cookie cutter form or anything. So,
sure. Yeah.
And Idle Records, of course, has a great history of putting out some interesting stuff like this. So I was really excited to hear about this project and get it a little bit early. So there you go. That's how the band describes their sound. Why don't we let you decide with your own ears? Because as they say, you know, art is in this case, the ear of the beholder. So why don't you put your ears on this tune I picked out called The Speed of Sound. Anything, any insights you guys can provide on this tune? I know that sometimes artists are perturbed when they get asked, so what's this song about? But, you know, you don't have to, whatever you'd like to tell me about the tune, if it's about the production or something, you know, anything about it you'd like to say.
Oh, standard end of the world song.
Oh, okay. Another one of those. Gotcha.
I think that so one of the funny things about the recording of this was I had all the instruments recorded and I gave it to Brandon and he just completely knocked it out of the park, I think. And so I turned his vocal up really loud and he was sort of like, I think that's a little much. Nope. It's perfect. Leave it alone. It's perfect.
Yeah.
So loud vocals.
Yeah. Be warned.
Okay.
Vocal perfection.
Yeah. There you go.
No auto-tune.
No auto-tune. Yeah, yeah. There's one thing about this record. There's absolutely zero auto-tuning on this record.
Another reason you should check it out, honestly, because
it's honest music.
Another day, another trap, another ocean off the map. You've never learned to swim, still you jump right in again. Watch the trees, they start to shake. Are you asleep? Are you awake? And the earth begins to move, like it's got something to prove. And the snow falls in July, on an ocean made of ice. You've been here once before, 10 years to find this door.
John, you were talking a little bit about the process on this album before we went into that song, but I think it's worth pointing out that you, as I mentioned in your introduction, are a multi-instrumentalist, so you're basically the guy playing all the instruments on this record. Is that true?
For the most part, yeah. Like that song that you just played, I'm pretty sure that was all me. There's songs, there's some contributions from a keyboard player friend of mine, Rich Martin.
Oh, yeah, of
amazing. Shibboleth. Yeah, Rich from Shibboleth. He played a few songs. Matt Pence played drums on a few.
Okay.
And in fact, the first song on the record is me playing on one track and him playing. So it's two drum sets.
Oh, that's cool.
Overdubbed. Yeah. And so he helped out. Sarah Jaffe, she sang two songs with Brandon. And who else? Chris Mays is a trombone playing friend of mine. He's in Pleasant Grove.
Very cool.
So he came out and helped out.
So you've got some guest appearances, but you really did the bulk
I'd say
of the work.
95% of the instruments I'm playing myself. Yeah.
That's so cool. And obviously, for anybody that's trying to envision this, obviously he did not put on one of those one-man band things that has all the instruments
on.
It's a matter of overdubbing and recording these things in the studio, which is, you know, it's how a lot of artists do things these days. But I'm always just fascinated to hear that because, you know, as a listener, no one would really have any idea. You know what I mean?
Right,
it just it sounds like it's all being performed live. So
excellent.
So that's really cool stuff. So we asked John about his bands that he's been involved in. But Brandon, I wanted to ask you about this group that you've been involved with for a while, the Earlys. Are you still with them? And tell me a little bit about that band. It's a bunch of Brits, right?
I mean, yes, it's true.
So you're like one of the sole Americans, much less Texans, in the group.
Right. It's there's two Texans. There's myself and then John Mark from Abilene.
Oh, cool.
So, I mean, still with the Earlys, I guess. I mean, we're not really with or without. We just kind of are. And sometimes we're together and sometimes we're not.
How deep.
Yeah. Whoa. I got to give me a minute here.
Yeah.
I guess it was a couple summers ago, we got together and did a little reunion for our 10-year anniversary, the first record. And that was the first time we'd played in like 7 or 8 years. And it was a lot of fun. Put out an EP. People came out, had their old T-shirts on, had a good time.
Nice.
I had John Mark over the other week for dinner, and we were kind of talking. And so I don't know. There's still some stuff out there that we haven't finished, so you never know.
Gotcha. So, I mean, most of the band lives in the UK, though, right?
And, yes.
And
yes.
How did this work with the collaboration? Were you actually going overseas, or was it a remote thing? Or?
Well, when it started, we were just sending DAT tapes back and forth.
Yeah.
Because there was really no broadband to speak of.
Right.
So, John Mark, who's from Abilene, was going to sound school in Manchester. Came back to Abilene over break, met me. I was working at CD Warehouse.
That was a place where you used to be able to buy music.
Yeah, yeah. There used to be stores where you went to buy music. And he was, you know, at CD Warehouse in Abilene, he was the only guy that would come in and not ask for a Toby Keith CD or something.
Right.
So we just kind of got to talking and being friends. And the earlies was already a studio project of his. And so I just kind of started singing on some stuff and just kind of was sending stuff back and forth. And then a few years later, we got offered a record deal, and they were like, oh, well, I guess we better get a band together. And so got to go over there and meet everybody for the first time.
Nice.
And it just kind of went on from there. It was a pretty cool experience.
Wow. Okay, well, I was really interested to know how that worked because, right, especially when you're talking about a time before the high-speed internet that we've got going on now where it was so easy to transfer files,
right,
you know, and do all this remote working with each other. Right, you literally were waiting on snail mail to mail these
pretty
DATs,
much. Yes.
Which I remember DAT tapes. We used to work with those digital audio tapes here.
Yep.
One of those formats that quickly died that a lot of people never got a hold of out there. But that's very interesting. Well, I appreciate you explaining that. If you're just joining us, I've got Brandon Carr and John Dufalo from Corner Sons, my guests in the KETR studios. And this is Notably Texan. I'm curious, and again, this kind of goes back to what I said earlier about you maybe lamenting the fact that I asked to describe the songs. Now, you may curse my name because I was going to ask about the band name, Corner Sons. Is that something that you can put into words, or how did you come up with the name Corner Sons?
Oh, there's a whole story behind it.
Oh, really?
It's a great question. We've got one for this.
Okay, all right, just making sure.
I have a good friend named CJ Davis, and he is an art teacher for grade school kids, and put on an opening. He put on a show of his students' art that I went to. On one of the walls in the classroom, or in the place in the space that they were doing the show, there was a sign, and it said had a list of things that he didn't allow in his class.
Okay.
So when kids were drawing or painting, no pluses for windows, no M's for birds.
Okay.
no Corner Sons. And I'm all looking right at this list, but I didn't understand. In fact, I didn't realize what I was looking at. And I'm actually just reading the bottom half of this list, and it just said, you know, pluses for windows, M's for birds, Corner Sons. And I didn't know what I was looking at or reading, but it was just sort of this interesting group of words together. And then I'm like, what does this mean? And he explained, oh, Corner Sons, it's all the easy tricks that kids rely on.
Right, and I'm envisioning this now, the classic round sun drawn up in the corner of a painting, yeah.
I just, for some reason, Corner Sons just had a great ring to it.
Yeah.
I like the sound of it, so I went with Corner Sons. But it's kind of an inside joke with him now because, you know, here I'm doing this thing that I'm not supposed to do.
Right. Yeah. Wow. All right.
Well, sticking it to the man.
Yeah, I like that. Well, that is fascinating. I never would have come up with that, so thanks for explaining that. Sometimes, you know, band names just have no explanation. It's just something weird that somebody came up with. But
and strangely, or not strangely, I have a daughter who's six, and she did the cover art for our record, and it's a son.
It certainly is. Yeah, no, I looked at that, and I did recognize the last name, but I wasn't sure.
You know. That's my daughter. Her name's June.
So. Wow, that is really cool. What is what medium is that? I mean,
it was paint. It was like a splatter paint kit.
I got gotcha.
She was working with, and showed it to me, and I saw, yeah, that's our cover. There,
I love it. No, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Wow, well, that's great. It's always cool to get the family involved on these projects. So that's her first published artwork, I guess.
Oh, I'm sure she'll be singing on the next. Sorry, Brandon.
That's fine. That's fine.
Oh man, that's
duet. She'll be we'll have a duet.
I didn't mean for you to get this heartbreaking news here on this interview,
that's
Brandon.
Fine. Like I said, you got the exclusive.
Well, I want to spin another cut from this Corner Sons album, and this is the the first single, really, and kind of the outstanding cut, if you ask me, is this Rattle in the Room song. And this is one that features the aforementioned Sarah Jaffe, somebody who we've been a fan of for a long time here on the show. I just played some of her stuff last hour. But I wanted to ask, I guess, how did you get hooked up with Sarah, and how was it to work with her?
Oh, she's incredible. We've been friends for more than a few years now, I guess. And she helped out with when I did the John Singer Sargent record.
Right.
She came over to, I've got a studio just outside Deep Elm in Dallas, and she came over and sang. And we just hit it off. We get along great. And she's amazing to record, because I feel like in all the times I've recorded her, there's never been one bad take. There's no, like,
right.
She just, it just comes out perfectly.
She has a very unique voice and, you know, an amazing talent for writing her own stuff. But
for sure. Yeah. She's a force. And really funny, too.
Really?
Yeah. Good sense of humor. Laid back, very easy to get along with, yeah.
I'm just curious, Brandon, were you actually working with Sarah, or was this one of those things where she just recorded her part?
No, I was kind of bummed out about that. It was just one of those things where I did my bit, and then she came in and did hers.
I gotcha. So. That's the way that modern things happen these days. It's pretty rare that you have a duet actually happening live, you know, at the same mic or something.
Right, but I feel like I was there.
Well, there you go. That counts for something.
Yeah.
As much as I try, Brandon just won't drive to Dallas every day. He just won't. He's not.
Yeah, I'll be at work, and John's like, hey, I got an idea. Can you come down? I'm like, not right now.
A little bit of a trek from Abilene, yeah. Here's The Rattle in the Room by Corner Sons featuring Sarah Jaffe.
Afraid in their recliner chairs. No money here, but we're millionaires. You heard right. 'Cause right now we got everything we need. So simple when you've got a million years to go. All I need is a microphone to get off. So plug the microphone.
Love that cut. That one, I feel like, is kind of the shining standout cut from the record, if you ask me. I mean, Sarah Jaffe's voice sets off just about anything. We were talking about her, you know, right before we played that. But I was curious to know about, there's some really interesting instruments in there, easy for me to say. Like, there's horns, and I believe that was a vibraphone. So tell me a little bit about how that got put into the song.
This is one of the tracks that I had some friends, some guests come play on. That's Chris Mays on trombone, on the horns. A guy named Nigel Newton came in, and he's not someone I know terribly well, but he was recommended from another friend of mine, and he came in and just did a few takes. I kind of described what I was looking for, and he just killed it right away. Just amazing talent. Made it easy. Made the whole thing come together quickly. Yeah, and the song actually was a funny, it came about in a really fast, funny way. I was hanging out with another buddy of mine, Dylan Silvers, and he, for some reason, decided to challenge. He said, "Oh, let's meet at this time tomorrow, and we have to go home and each write a song, and we'll show each other the song." So it was sort of this songwriting challenge thing. And so I went home and wrote this. Like, it came together in about 2 minutes, and the lyrics are about, because he lives about five houses down from me.
Okay.
So one block up, one block down and up the stairs, neighbors. All I'm doing is describing how fun it is to go record at his house. He has a home studio. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
Universal.
Right. Absolutely. Very cool. And then I have to ask about what's the sound that starts off. It's like, it's not a shaker. It's like, I don't know my hand instruments real well, but what's that first thing that starts?
So it's a combination. There's a shaker. There's a I don't even know what you call it. The
yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. I can.
Yeah, that thing.
Okay, I threw you under the bus on that one.
You did. I
whatever that
feel
thing
silly
is
that I don't remember the name of it, but
spin doctors use it all the time.
They're fun to play, do they? Now I hate it.
Oh man,
you've ruined.
We're never using it again. All right, well that one is really cool, and I guess my only complaint about it is it's too short. You know, every time I get into that song, I'm like, I want this to keep going. Right.
Well, that was the idea. We wanted song. You know, we wanted to leave the listener wanting more.
Well, you succeed.
But I think there's one song where we broke the 3 minute. I mean, that's like
the winner, maybe.
Yeah, that's like our Stairway to Heaven. I mean,
yes, Trance goes a little over 3 minutes as well. That's another
epic
one with Sarah. And so, right, you gotta really carve out some time for some of these songs.
Live show, we're gonna have to do an intermission or something.
I mean. I want to ask about your plans for a live show before we are done here today. And we've alluded to this a little bit already, but John, you were kind of, I guess you could say, honored with all these people coming together on that 2012 compilation, John Singer Sargent, the music and songs of yours. So how did that project come to pass exactly? Was that your idea, or did somebody else say, hey, man, we'd love to record some of your stuff?
It was my idea. I had just a big batch of songs that I had written and wasn't sure what to do with. And between the Death Ray Davies and our other band Cantina, I think I was getting tired of my own voice.
Okay.
And curious about what it would sound like if I wrote songs for other people to sing. And so rather than kind of writing and giving away songs or trying to go that route, I just started inviting people to the studio and yeah, I was completely flattered that so many of my friends were up for singing my songs. So,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like a cast of who's who in Texas music that appear on that album, and it's kind of an obscure one. A lot of people haven't checked that out from a couple of years ago. John Singer Sargent is the compilation, and it's on Kirtland, right?
Correct, yes.
Yeah. So that's one that we've got in our collection here that I refer to from time to time, but I thought that was really cool. And that was actually how I learned a little bit more about you. I told you off air that last year I invited Spike in, an artist from Dallas who had just put out an album at the time, and I saw that she appears on that, and so I started asking her a little bit about how'd you get on this John Singer Sargent thing, and she had all kinds of good things to say about you. So
nice.
So
she's great, and that's how Brandon and I started working together. As he came and sang on mm-hmm. that record, and the guy I was talking about earlier, Dylan. So the two of them did sort of a duet on one song, and I totally loved Brandon's voice first time I heard it. Just first time I recorded him, and just knew. I was dying to write a whole other batch of songs just so he could sing them. So that's kind of how this started.
So I was fine with that. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, do that.
Yeah, and at first we wanted to make something really heavy. I was thinking like something that sounded like Black Sabbath. We were talking about doing some
so many cool ideas.
Heavy psychedelic, like 70s inspired music. And turns out I don't have any clue how to make that kind of music. So we eventually just kind of went to whatever came naturally, which is what this is.
Awesome.
Which is always the best. I mean, that's the best course of action, kids.
Yeah, there you go. If you're going to learn any lessons from this. Well, who knows? Maybe down the line you can revisit that whole Black Sabbath idea. Because
I'm still up for it.
I was really intrigued by that idea. You know?
Yeah.
Right. When I call Brandon and say, hey, come in town every day, he says, Black Sabbath sound? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Do we have that? We're working on it.
Yeah.
It's not the first time above.
We're going to spin another cup before we're done, but I did want to take a few minutes here to kind of open the floor to each of you, if you would like to and I sure hope that you will, to speak a little bit about non-commercial public radio, because we are a public radio station mm-hmm. here. So as you might have guessed, if this were a commercial station, I would have talked to you for you know, 5 minutes tops, and then we would have had to take a break to air a bunch of advertisements and stuff. So,
right.
I mean, the differences are obvious, but I'm sure that that your time in Dallas and making the type of music that you do has you with a kind of a close connection to public radio. So, talk a little bit, if you will, about stations like KETR that give your music the time and attention it deserves. And you're each welcome to say what you'd like on this.
Well, I mean, in Abilene, we've got our, you know, college radio, KACU, and, you know, love my NPR every morning. That's where I get my info.
Yeah.
It's just great that we can still have stuff like this that isn't totally bought out and, you know, someone else owns it and you can actually pick what you want to play from your community. And it's one of the last places you can go to get honest information and honest music.
Agreed, for sure. And selfishly, we're fortunate in that, you know, we get invited to come, you know, do this and you're playing our songs. It's, you know, in that way. But in the same way, other artists and local artists, like you said, that we wouldn't have the same kind of chance or, you know, or choice to get to hear it. So,
but the Eagle, if you're listening, will be there anytime. Whenever, just call us.
Right, and you know, I of course beat up on my friends in commercial radio sometimes. We assume that the Eagle will still be there, of course, because the company that owns that and other stations in Dallas, you know, like recently just shut down the longstanding alternative station there.
I don't even know what's going on in Dallas.
Who will go unnamed, but no, we'll say The Edge was a long time station over in Dallas.
Right.
Who kind of out of the blue, they shut that down here recently, and now it's more of a adult contemporary station, and all the DJs got canned and everything. So
Q102 still?
Oh no, you're going way back into the Dallas archives for that.
No, man.
But you are name dropping a lot of the stations that I grew up listening to around there. But radio's changed a lot over the years, and it's not that easy to find interesting stuff that's not on the 10 song playlist of these other stations. It's certainly not easy to find a place that will let you discover a band like Corner Suns. You know what I mean? So
sure.
I appreciate you opening up on that, and listeners, I hope that you'll heed the words of Corner Suns and get behind our efforts. You can do that anytime. You don't have to wait for a pledge drive. You can click donate at KETR.org today. So what sorts of plans? I'm really curious, because knowing how the music was made on this record, how are you going to tackle touring? I mean, I'm assuming that the band will try to go on the road at some point, but you would have to put together a band if you're going to do that, right?
Well, it's funny you bring that up. That's what we're just wondering. We are wondering that ourselves.
Okay.
Actually, later on today after this, we're going to go and see if we can put a band together real quick. We're going to start.
Just out on the street? Or
we're just going to. Yeah.
There's got to be some college musicians around here.
Probably, yes.
But no, we got a show January 29th at Good Records, kind of a little
in-store
okay.
kind of thing. It's going to be a lot of fun from 6 to 7. But beyond that right now, we're just. That's all we're worried about right now. It's just getting this done. And
one step at a time. We're putting a band together, and we've got my friend, our friend Jason Garner is going to play drums. He's with the Polyphonic Spree.
Oh, yeah.
And Andy Lester is going to switch back and forth between guitar and bass. I'm going to play bass guitar. I might even play drums a little bit. We haven't figured out how it's going to go. But Rich Martin, who we were talking about, he's going to play keyboards.
Keys, right?
Yeah. So
nice.
And it's being debated as to whether Brandon's gonna just sing or play guitar and sing.
Man, I really hope.
We're kind of
hoping I get to have something to hold on to.
See, he wants to play guitar. I'd rather. I want to see some dance moves.
You can't do both. I mean,
maybe I could just do that thing where I just have it slung behind my back and like I'll pull it up.
You never play
it. I'm about to play it, and then when I start singing, I just put it back.
It's just a prop.
A classic.
Yeah, I gotta have something, man. I've always had a guitar in my hand.
No, it's, man. Just
don't make me do that, please.
Just like Ozzy, two fingers in the air, pointed straight up.
I'll start working on my frog jumps. Are we gonna have buckets of water there that I can throw?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well.
Maybe you can get one of those, like, the gold-plated microphones, since that's all you're going to have.
Well, I thought about that, because, you know, I thought about maybe getting, you know, a Valen Atlas, the old mic stands, you know, that...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Google it, Valen Atlas. it's classic mic stand. It's in, like, every major band, is, you know, they always have when you go back and look at the old photos. It's cool. It's just a, you know, straight up and down, no boom. Leather grip in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
It weighs, like, 500 pounds.
Right. It's just immovable.
It's the coolest mic stand ever, so... Maybe if John will buy me one of those, I'll
all right,
well, stand there like an idiot.
There you go. See, the the special insights we get on our chats here on Notably Tex, and I'm glad you're here to hear this, folks. We're talking with John and Brandon from Corner Sons. So where can listeners get the new album, and where can they find you guys online?
The album right now, it's up on the Auto Records store. If you go to the Auto Records website, and if you order it today, it will ship out. The same, or when you order it, ships out the same day, I believe, is what
that's what he told us. That's
right. Was saying.
Yeah,
hope I get that right. it's also it's at Amazon, I believe. It's on the iTunes. Yeah, it comes out today. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Birthday. Oh wait, is that why we're here?
That's okay.
Yeah.
Birthday.
But yeah, and we're also on Facebook, and our website, cornersons.com. Twitter.
There you go.
That's okay, it's just you know, Cornersons, and look for a psychedelic purple image.
Yes, the aforementioned painting by John's daughter, right?
That's right.
There you go.
Junebug painting.
That is awesome. Well, yeah, so you're going to be able to find these guys in the traditional methods out there on social networking, and they're pretty easy to find if you just search Corner Sons. I don't know how many other things really come up when you Google Corner Sons.
The first thing that comes up is no Corner Sons.
Oh, okay. So
appropriate.
So make
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, just go to cornersons.com.
Yeah, make sure
it's
that
all
you're going
there.
To the right
cornersons.com.
place.
Cornersons.com. Links to everything. Also, too, we got a YouTube channel. Got a couple videos up
oh,
there.
Oh, yeah. I blew past wanting to mention, give you a chance to mention the videos.
Well, not only is John an amazing multi-instrumentalist, stroke producer, stroke songwriter, stroke father, he's now a videographer.
Nice.
Driver, golfer.
Yeah, so if you need any video work done, check out the Corner Sun stuff and then give John a holler.
Okay. I've been making some homemade videos taught myself Final Cut Pro.
And okay.
For, we've been just kind of throwing images together. We did one for Borrow Time, and I did one for Speed of Sound. Did you just say that?
No, I didn't actually mention the
right
ones.
Okay. So, yeah, those two songs have videos now.
And we had a little help from my buddy Charles Cadell in Abilene. We did some shots and sent it to John, kind of the same way we do everything.
Oh,
now.
Yeah, yeah.
Send stuff across the interwebs and you're good to go.
Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You're maybe hoping to do a video for The Rattle in the Room, too.
Right.
That's the plan, yeah.
Would Sarah get in on that, do you think?
Or, I hope so. We need to get her in for sure.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Something to look forward to there. So, yeah, all kinds of stuff you can go and seek out online if you want to find out more about Corner Sons. And if you want to find out more about these guys, I've been talking to John Dufalo and Brandon Carr, who are the primary folks behind Corner Sons. And this really has been a lot of fun talking to you guys. I wanted to play you out with one more song here from the new record out today. It's called I'm Not the Only One. This one, I think, this is kind of
nice.
One of the more, I guess, radio-friendly traditional songs that I found on the record. Would you agree with that, or am I making hurtful statements about your music?
No, I never seem to know. You know, once we write them and record them and sing them, I never know. I lose all perspective.
I understand.
I think.
Right.
So as far as like what the radio and what's not, yeah. So that's interesting to me. I think of it as kind of a slow, surfy song. But yeah,
it's one of my favorite. It's one of my favorite songs on there. But that's interesting. It's just, it's weird. You never know how people are going to,
yeah,
you know.
Jeff Ryan, who's a good friend of ours, he's a drummer of a band called Pleasant Grove, among a couple other bands. This was his favorite song from the record and mentioned that to me a few times. So,
it almost didn't make the cut.
Wow,
it almost
really?
Didn't. We were going to leave it off. There were a few songs, that this being one of them, that I didn't really feel like fit in with the rest of the record. And Rattle in the Room was one of them, too. I just felt like it was a completely different world.
I can understand that. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I thought, well, no, let's put them all together. It'll make the project more interesting that way.
I'm so glad that you did. You know, I mean, I think those are kind of the standout cuts, those two that we're just talking about, Rattle in the Room and I'm Not the Only One. So I'm just one DJ. That's just one DJ's opinion. What do I know? But
we'll take it.
Yeah.
So there you go. I really appreciate your time, guys. I know that this takes a lot of effort to make the trip all the way from Dallas out here and to spend all this time here in the hot, sweaty studios of KETR. So I appreciate you spending some time with me today. And let's do it again
when
you guys put
yeah.
out the next record or whatever. I'd love to have you back out.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's play you out with I'm Not the Only One. The record's out today on Idol. And this is 88.9 KETR, Notably Texan.
Spelling was wrong. I got the message.